بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم اما بعد Alhamdulillah, we moved on to the 13th session that we're going through a few of the blessed reports with regards to the sanctuary of both Makkah and Al-Madinah. And yesterday I mentioned some of the various blessed reports discussing the virtues of the blessed graveyard, Jannat al-Baqi. So another one of the great blessings for the city of our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are the fruits. In Sahih Muslim, number 1373, Tirmidhi, number 3465, Ibn Majah, number 3329, Darimi, number 2072, Mishkat, number 2731. Our beloved Messenger, he made the following dua, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahumma barik lana fi thamarina. O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, bless us in our fruits. Subhanallah. Allahumma barik lana fi thamarina. O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, bless us in our fruits. So in this flawless report in Sahih Muslim, very specific, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made a dua for the fruits of Al-Madinah. So now, Madinah is famous for its dates. So this is why the scholars point out that the dates of Al-Madinah are blessed. You should try and get your dates from Al-Madinah. But a lot of people can't explain that. So you explain it by saying, because Rasulullah made a dua, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, bless the fruits. But it's not just dates. Any other thing there, grapes, whatever. The fruit are blessed in Al-Madinah. So that's why if a person is suffering ailments, they say you should partake of the fruits of the city of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But dates being the staple diet there, this is what people usually turn to. So all the fruits are blessed. However, one particular date is the Sayyid of the dates, i.e. the most blessed. And those dates are called Ajwa. Ajwa. In Sahih Bukhari, our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, he who eats 7 Ajwa dates every morning will then not be affected by poison or witchcraft on the day he eats them. Subhanallah. He who eats 7 Ajwa dates every morning will then not be affected by poison or witchcraft on the day he eats them. So this is a flawless report in Sahih Bukhari. The Ajwa are the most superior dates. So now, what is it protecting you from? One is a spiritual ailment, witchcraft. So if a person fears that he will be targeted, i.e. by those who dabble in the black arts, he should start consuming Ajwa dates. And that will protect that person from witchcraft. How does it work? We don't need to work it out. The Prophet told us, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we don't question medicine when we take it. We don't start saying, how does the medicine work? Right? You know, we just take it. The doctor gives us the prescription, we take it. So Rasulullah gave you this prescription, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He goes, 7. Now look how interesting, 7. Why not 2? Why not 1? Why not 5? Again, we don't question what the Prophet says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Why not in the evening? He said morning. So you have to be very specific. 7 Ajwa dates. Then he said every morning, meaning for the time you feel that you may be affected. Keep taking those dates. They'll protect you not only from witchcraft, but poison. Look how interesting. Even poison cannot affect you. In another report, in Tirmidhi, number 2068, Ibn Majah number 3455 is Hassan, our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Ajwa are from paradise and they are a healing from poison. Subhanallah. Ajwa are from paradise and they are a healing from poison. So an addition is made. Ajwa is from paradise. So a person accepts it, but he asks very respectfully, he goes, but it's grown on the earth. The crops are on the earth. So how can the ajwa be from paradise? So the scholars, they explain, they say that we are from paradise. Adam, alayhi salatu wasalam, but we came down onto the earth. So the origin of it is in Jannah. That's one explanation. The second is, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam mentioned rivers of paradise. And one of the rivers he says that are come from paradise is the river Nile and the river Euphrates. Both these rivers are on the earth. So how is it on the earth? Again, the origin is from paradise. It came onto the earth. So on the same chain of thought, ajwa is the same. So when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said ajwa are from paradise, they're special dates. Their origin is from paradise and they are a healing from poison. Meaning even if you've been poisoned, keep taking the ajwa date. It will help to eradicate the poison. Also, another peculiarity of ajwa. In Ibn Majah, number 3453, Ahmad in his Musnad 3-48, our beloved messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, ajwa are from paradise and they are a healing from possession. Subhanallah. Ajwa are from paradise and they are a healing from possession. Possession is when the jinn takes over the human. And the Prophet explicitly said that it heals the possessed person. So look at the amazing date, the ajwa. Takes out poison, takes out witchcraft or protects you from witchcraft. It heals the possessed person. Why? Because the jinn that possesses must be an evil jinn. And the ajwa harms it. So look how amazing the Prophet is telling you about these gifts. So the person crunches his eyebrows. He says, why is ajwa so special? Because the crops are from Al-Madinah. Ajwa are from Al-Madinah. The Prophet made a dua, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, for the fruits of Al-Madinah. Their staple diet is dates. So maybe ajwa took the larger share of the dua of the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The other thing which is worth pointing out about ajwa, there's different varieties. You get large ones, you get small ones. It doesn't matter which one. The large ones obviously are more pricey. The small ones are also very pricey. When you go into the date market, you'll notice straight away, you'll find it, the price just shoots up. But there's orchards there. And if you know people who are resident, they can take you and they'll give you the dates direct. Imagine a fresh as a, you know, from the earth. And they are very soft. You know, a person mentioned to me, they're very, very soft, these ajwa dates, if you get them direct. So note, these are the sayyid of the dates. Why are they blessed? Because of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Also, Hafiz ibn Jawzi rahmatullahi alayhi, in his Wafa ul Wafa, our beloved messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, when you pass by Mount Uhud, then eat something from its vegetation, even if it be a simple blade of grass. Subhanallah. When you pass by this mountain, Mount Uhud, then eat something from its vegetation, even if it be a simple blade of grass. So Mount Uhud is the mountain that overlooks the holy city of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet mentioned many things about that blessed mountain. The mountain's red, very strange color. But here, look at the unusual command the Prophet gave, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If you pass by that mountain, eat something from the vegetation, even if it is a blade of grass. So a person goes, why again? You're questioning. When the Prophet says something, we just do it. But it goes back to the dua. The Prophet made a dua for the fruits. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made a dua for Al-Madinah. The Prophet made a dua, so these are part of the effects of the dua. He mentioned Mount Uhud. So when you're there, you should look for something to eat. Right? And even if it's a blade of grass, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said. And alhamdulillah, we went. 2 years ago, we managed to get a blade of grass. And then my brother saw us, and he questioned, he goes, oh, Hadha, what's this? And he goes, Hafiz ibn Jawzi mentions it. Hafiz ibn Jawzi. He goes, yeah, then he started eating it. Right? Because people don't know. You know, they go there, you know, taking selfies, right? You know, go and do what you're supposed to be doing there. Why did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say eat? Because there must be shafa in it. Think about it, the whole city is blessed. If the dust of Al-Madinah has got shafa, then why do you find this strange? Think about that. I mentioned that. The dust of Medina contains shafa for everything. Then what about the blade of grass from Uhud? What else do we know about Uhud? In Ibn Majah, number 3115, Ibn Adi in his Al-Kamil 4-1549, our beloved messenger, he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Uhud stands at one of the gates of paradise. Subhanallah. Uhud stands at one of the gates of paradise. So think about that. When you're looking at Uhud, you're literally looking at possibly a gate of paradise. So what does that mean? So if you take it literally, it's a gate of paradise. If you take it metaphorically, it means it will help you to enter paradise. But how does a mountain help you to enter paradise? Think about that. Look how interesting that is. But the Prophet said, it stands at one of the gates of paradise. Meaning, you're so close to paradise when you're near Uhud. And look how amazing. Do you think it's a coincidence that 70 companions are buried there, who were martyred at the Battle of Uhud? You know, people don't study. You know, the face of you thinking, oh, if they were only buried in Jannat al-Baqi, that was the place to be. Was it? Who was buried in Uhud? One of them was Hamza, the Prophet's uncle. Allah Ta'ala didn't know where to put the Prophet's uncle. Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Why is he buried at Uhud? It's one of the gates of paradise. You know, where better to be buried? And what did the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam say? Oh, how I wish that I was buried here. In Imam Ahmad's Musnad, think about that. Rasulullah saying it, he goes, they were the ones who've been given this honor. I would have loved to have also been buried here. You know, look at the status of the people. Why? Because there's something special about Uhud. The fact that his companions buried there as well. You know, subhanAllah. Also in Sahih Bukhari, number 7333, Sahih Muslim, number 1365. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Uhud is a mountain that loves us and we love it. Subhanallah. Uhud is a mountain that loves us and we love it. So now let's look at this report. It's a mountain. A person goes, has he got feelings? There's a very famous hadith in Sahih Bukhari. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he ascends Uhud with Abu Bakr, Umar and Uthman. And the Uhud starts shaking. You know, we know these reports, but for some reason we switch off. Muhammad, brother, which mountain was that? Ben Nevis, right? What mountain was that? Uhud. Was it Uhud? Carry on, right? What happened? It started shaking. Why did it start shaking? The Prophet started talking to it. It's got feelings. He goes, why are you shaking, Uhud? On you, there is a Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a Siddiq and martyrs. Why? Because Uhud was thinking, who's standing on my back? Now think about that. Whatever Rasulullah does, he does with the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It wasn't just a coincidence. He's going on a day trip. Like people think, A'udhu billah, let's go on a picnic. Allah Ta'ala told his beloved, climb Uhud, but not just yourself. Take with you your three successors. Uhud started shaking. And then the Prophet spoke to it as if, you know, like he had a great connection with the mountain. He says, why are you shaking? And then the amazing prophecy. The Prophet knew that Umar and Uthman were going to get martyred. On you there's a Prophet, a Siddiq and martyrs. That was that mountain. Think about it. Allah Ta'ala was honoring it further by giving the Holy Prophet his blessed, you know, qadam on that mountain. That's why it's sunnah to climb it. Unfortunately, we can't now because they've fenced it off. The other thing about Mount Uhud is the future. In Imam Ahmad's Musnad, Sahih Hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is talking about, you know, the Dajjal, Antichrist. And then he says, he will ascend. And he will be looking down from Uhud. And then he will point, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, he'll point to my masjid. And he will ask, what is that? And somebody would say to him, this is the masjid of Ahmad. And the Prophet described it. He goes, a white fortress. The masjid would look like a white fortress. In fact, one report says, Dajjal says that. What is that white fortress? He goes, this is, Dajjal goes, this is the masjid of Ahmad. Now, why is that incredible? Because in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was there a white fortress? Imagine the Sahaba hearing this hadith. Why is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam describing this masjid that we're sitting in, which is made of date palms and straw? He's describing it as a white fortress. Why don't we blink by an eyelid? Because it looks like a white fortress. How did the Prophet know that? That's already there, meaning Dajjal's coming. Think about that, right? So note, the Prophet's showing signs of Nabuwat. And he's mentioning Uhud again. Now why does Dajjal not go any further? Because he can't enter the Haram. Uhud is the perimeter. He stops there because the Dajjal prevented from entering. But he points to the masjid, because that's the masjid of Ahmad. And then just to add, there's going to be an earthquake. The Prophet said in Al-Madinah, two or three earthquakes. And the hypocrites will leave. And the Prophet said, Medina purifies itself once again. Why? Because human beings can enter. Munafiqs can enter. That proves it. But when Dajjal comes, Allah wants purity again. And there's going to be a few earthquakes. And what do these fruitcakes think in Al-Madinah? Dajjal's causing it. Get out. But those who are sincere goes, no, we're never leaving the sanctuary of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then when he's heading towards the sanctuary, he gets the call that Isa ibn Maryam's descended. And then his attention is turned away from Al-Madinah. Look how symbolic that is. Right? So, Uhud is mentioned again. Think about that. How do we know mountains have got feelings? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in Tabarani, authentic hadith, the mountains talk to each other. One mountain asks another mountain, has anybody done dhikr who's passed by you? And if the mountain says yes, the other mountain is very happy for him. Right? So they discuss. Imagine, one mountain is talking to the other mountain, like I'm talking to you. And yeah, we can't hear it, we can't see it. Why? Because it's not our language, it's not our business. But what do fruitcakes do? They go and climb it. You're climbing mountains for, and you got anything better to do? There's a graveyard on Mount Everest. You know, so why is there a graveyard on Mount Everest? And Sheikh Hamza got really upset. He goes, what job, what right have you got to go and climb mountains? No, wasting their life climbing mountains. If you're going to climb a mountain, go to Uhud. At least follow the Sunnah. Right? So note, Mount Uhud is a mountain that loves us. The Prophet said, look, think about that, it loves us. And what has that mountain seen? Imagine, it's been standing there. It saw Nabuwat. It saw Abu Bakr Siddiq's Khalifat. It saw Umar ibn al-Khattab's Khalifat. It saw Uthman ibn Affan's Khalifat. It saw the beginning of Ali's Khalifat. It saw the Sahaba, one by one. Right? And then you're standing there. Imagine, what am I doing here? Look at the, you know, if you think about where you are at that time, you think, where am I? And this mountain's looking at me. And then you actually get scared. You're thinking, maybe A'udhu Billah is cursing me because of the state I'm in. And people go there selfieing away. Selfieing. What are you doing selfies for, brother? If you want to go selfie, go to Barbados, isn't it? Astaghfirullah.
You mentioned Everest and graveyard.
Yes.
Do the mountains see the destruction of some of
Yes, them? Mashallah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also said, this is frightening, in Imam Ahmad's Musnad, the authentic hadith, he said, every single day, the mountains request Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, allow us to fall and crush the children of Adam because of their ingratitude. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, no, I am their creator. So the mountains now note their anger. They want to harm you. And one report actually says that when there's an avalanche, that's because it shudders out of fear. You know, you get those avalanches, you know, when the snow falls and the rubble falls. You know, when you get that little shiver yourself, that's the mountain shiver. That's the avalanche. Right? But the kuffar, only thing they know is they go to the science. They go, this is what's happened. Not really, right? Mountains, they got feelings. So when you go to Uhud, think about that. The Prophet goes, eat something from there. This is a gate of paradise, near the gate of paradise. Again, you know, and pay your respects to the blessed martyrs. What else is in the holy city or its surroundings? You got Masjid al-Quba. In Tirmidhi, Ibn Majah, Bayhaqi, Tarheeb number 917, our beloved messenger, he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Salat fi Masjid al-Quba ka umrah. A salah in Masjid al-Quba is like an umrah. Subhanallah. Salat fi masjid Quba'a ka umrah. A salah in Masjid Quba is like an umrah. So where is Masjid Quba? Masjid Quba is about four or five miles out from Al-Madina, from Masjid al-Nabi. Why is that masjid so beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he migrated from Makkah, he was forced to migrate with Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. That is where he stayed first, Quba. He built a masjid there. Imagine, the first place he stays, what do we do? Build koti, right? He builds a masjid. That masjid was built before Masjid al-Nabi. Think about that. Who built it? Whose hands? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. How long did they stay in Quba? The shortest time mentioned is they spent 3 to 4 days. The longest time is 3 weeks. So this discrepancy. But the Prophet did stay there definitely for 3 full days. Now why did he stay there? Think about the Medina's 5 miles away. Because this is a special place. How many salats did he offer there? Minimum, farad, minimum, 15. Maximum, 3 weeks, over 100. Farad prayers in Masjid al-Quba. Think about that. When the Prophet ﷺ built it, many things are mentioned. First blessing, you go there, you offer a prayer there, you get the reward of an umrah. Now think about it. People are so, you know, switched off. You see people, you watch them. They do 2 rakats and then they go, Bismillah, let's go. Then you go, why don't you offer another 2 rakats? Because I've got my umrah. Because don't you want another umrah? Then they look at you, like, they go, well, you only get one umrah, don't you? Who said you get one umrah? Right? You know, think about that. Look how shaitan plays with these people. What did the Prophet ﷺ say? A salat in Masjid Quba is like an umrah. He didn't say one salat. So when you go there, if you offer 4 rakats, you got 2 umrah. 6 rakats, you got 3 umrah. Think about that. So isn't it a beautiful place to pass on something to the dead? Somebody goes, I need to do umrah. You know, people say this, I need to do umrah. I've got a big list, it gets shopping list out, right? And then you say, brother, mashallah, let's go to Masjid al-Quba. You go, come on, brother, that's a right way. Call, you know, you come out of the world. Because it's from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How many umrah are you going to do? 10. Then do 20 rakats in Masjid al-Quba with the intention of the person you want to pass it to. The Prophet said, it's like an umrah. Also, in Tabarani and Targhib, number 919, our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if anyone performs wudu well and then enters Masjid al-Quba offering 4 rakats there, then it is just like setting a slave free. So now there's 2 different things mentioned in this hadith. One is you perform wudu well before you go to the masjid. So etiquette is you do wudu before you enter the masjid. So usually do it in the city of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You're going to go there anyway. Don't do it there. Secondly, you offer 4 rakats. Again, there you go. Exposing the mentality of these fruitcakes. Why are you doing 2 rakats, brother? Right? The Prophet mentioned 4 now. You've left that sunnah. And what's the reward for 4 rakats? You set a slave free. Now what does that mean? It means that is enough to protect your entire body from the fire of hell. 4 rakats in Masjid al-Quba. Think about that. Right? 4 rakats in Masjid al-Quba. Is this masjid mentioned in the Quran? Yes. In Surah 9, verse 108. Surah Tawbah, verse 108. Allah the Almighty and Glorious, He says, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim.
لَمَسْجِدٌ أُسِّسَ عَلَى التَّقْوَى مِنْ أَوَّلِ يَوْمٍ أَحَقُّ أَن تَقُومَ فِيهِ.
There is a masjid whose foundation was laid from the first day on taqwa. It is more worthy of your standing therein. So look what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say. There is a masjid whose foundation from the first day was founded on taqwa. It was built on the foundation of taqwa. It is more worthy of your standing in there. Which masjid is Allah Ta'ala talking about? Quba. What does Allah Ta'ala say about Quba? It's a masjid that has been built on the foundation of taqwa. Now look how interesting. The same verse. It's a long verse. Allah Ta'ala revealed something about the people there. The hadith is in Abu Dawood number 44, Tirmidhi number 3111, Ibn Majah number 355, Hakim Sahih, Zahabi Sahih, and Sahih in Sunan Abi Dawood number 34. Abu Huraira radiyallahu anhu, he relates that our beloved messenger said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, regarding the people of Quba, it was revealed, and he recited this portion of verse 108, فِيهِ رِجَالٌ يُحِبُّونَ أَيَّةَ طَحَرُوا وَاللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الْمُطَّحِرِينَ. In it are men who love to be purified. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves those who purify themselves. Abu Huraira added, they used to clean their private parts with water. Thus this verse was revealed about them. Subhanallah. So let's look at this. So it's a long verse. Surah 9 verse 108. Allah Ta'ala first praises the masjid. It was built upon taqwa. You should pray therein. Then he says in the same verse, in it are men who love to be purified. فِيهِ رِجَالٌ يُحِبُّونَ أَيَّةَ طَحَّرُونَ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves those who purify themselves. وَاللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الْمُطَّحِّرِينَ. Who are these people? Abu Huraira radiyallahu anhu said, it was the Sahaba in Quba. They were doing something before the Prophet told them. What were they doing? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They weren't just drying with earth when they did istinja. They took some water with them. So they used the clods of earth to dry and then they'd use water. So the Prophet ﷺ looked at them because why has Allah Ta'ala praised you in his book? So imagine the Ansar would think, praise this book, Ya Rasulullah. He goes, you're doing something. What are you doing? And he goes, we use water, Ya Rasulullah, for istinja. He goes, this is the reason. So now look how beautiful the verse is. Allah Ta'ala is talking about this masjid. It's blessed. He's mentioned people within it who are blessed. Why are they blessed? Because they are purifying themselves. They're concerned about their purity. So what is Allah Ta'ala hinting to about this masjid? It will purify you. This masjid is so beloved, it will purify you. The Ansar actually said, and you got to be straightforward. They goes, we saw the Jews doing this, Ya Rasulullah. Look how interesting. The Bani Israel did that. They used to go for the call of nature, use water. So because we thought, yeah, we'll do that. And the Prophet goes, this is good. And that's why to this very day, what dua do we say after we do the wudu? Allahumma ij'alni min at-tawwabina waj'alni min Allahumma ij'alni min at-tawwabina waj'alni min al-mutatahhirin. Oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, make me amongst those who do tawbah and amongst those who purify themselves. This is a dua in Tirmidhi. We're supposed to say that after you complete your wudu. Allahumma ij'alni min at-tawwabin waj'alni min al-mutatahhirin. Why do we make that dua? Look at the Quran. Allah Ta'ala is praising people who do this. You're asking for that. But when you're in Quba, look at the history. Allah Ta'ala has revealed Quran for this masjid. Rasulullah built this masjid. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Abu Bakr Siddiq built this masjid. You're getting the reward of an umrah. Allah Ta'ala is praising people who purified themselves here. And then you start shaking, thinking, what is this place? And that's the whole point. You need to prepare. You don't just go there, yeah, wait now. Right? Jump onto that coach. He doesn't know what he's talking about. One brother says to me, because he took me somewhere, this guide. He goes, a camel came out of this mountain. And he goes, which mountain? Right? And he goes, Uhud. And then he goes, is that true? I go, I've never heard that in my life. I goes, I've heard of Salih alayhi salatu wasalam, that, you know, just coming out with coaches. Right? Why? Because if you're going to, you know, if people don't know left from right, jumping on coaches, because they take you to spots and there's nothing. Maybe, you know, yeah, you fill the gaps in it, a couple of correct things, and just put a few corkers in there. But if you know what you're doing, you don't need to be traveling about. You spend time and you imbibe the history of the holy place. And what else is interesting? In Bazar al-Ibn Kathir's tafsir, the companions answered, we first cleanse ourselves with stones then with water. We first cleanse ourselves with stones, then water. So in today's day and age, you don't use stones. Toilet paper. MashaAllah. Right? So use toilet paper and then you use water afterwards. Right? Don't ask me about dry fig. That's the scholars. Right? But it's best to do both. Right? Use the toilet paper and then use the water after. Right? But this is part of the teachings. Don't you want to emulate those whom Allah Ta'ala has placed in the Quran? Look how that deed becomes something beloved now. You think, Allahu Akbar, Quba. I want to be like those people whom Allah Ta'ala has praised. He loves these deeds that nobody knows about. Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Also, which is important, this verse was revealed about the people of Quba. But there's another hadith. Mufti Shafi rahmatullah alayhi, he says, in Ma'rif al-Quran, volume 4, page 467 of the English translation, he quotes, Sahih Muslim, Nasa'i, Tirmidhi and Ahmad all relate that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated that this verse, Surah 9, verse 108, was about Masjid al-Nabi, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So a person goes, hang on. You just said that this verse was revealed about Masjid al-Quba. I didn't say that. Rasulullah said that. Okay. Now you're saying, Rasulullah said that this same verse was revealed about Masjid al-Nabi. He goes, yes. So because isn't that a contradiction? So Mufti Shafi said, no contradiction. Because it goes without saying that its foundation also rests on taqwa. Look at the verse. If somebody says to you, who's Allah Ta'ala talking about here? There is a masjid whose foundation was laid from the first day on taqwa. You should stand in it. If somebody goes, is that Masjid al-Nabi? You think, yeah, of course, it has to be. You're correct. Is it Masjid al-Quba? Yes. So Allah Ta'ala doesn't need to repeat himself. The verse is for both. But it was first revealed for Quba. Have you understood? Then when Rasulullah built Masjid al-Nabi, the same verse applied to, that's why the Prophet said, it's my Masjid as well. So now think about that. Why have I mentioned that? What is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam comparing Masjid al-Nabi to? Masjid al-Quba? If somebody says to you, hang on a minute, brother. Are you telling me Masjid al-Quba is comparable to Masjid? I'm not telling you that, brother. What are you having to go at me for? Allah Ta'ala is telling you that. Rasulullah is telling you that. And what are you doing? Get on course and do two rakats and go zipping off again. Right? Imagine, right? It's been compared to Masjid al-Nabi. Now, there's a secret here. Why? Why is it compared to Masjid al-Nabi? This is the secret. In Ibn Abi Shaybah, in his Al-Musannaf 2-264, Fath al-Bari 3-69, it's Hassan. Sa'd ibn Abi Waqas, one of the Temple of His Paradise, radiyallahu anhu, he said, that I pray two rakats in Masjid al-Quba is more beloved to me than going to Bayt al-Maqdis two times. Subhanallah. That I pray two rakats in Masjid al-Quba is more beloved to me than going to Bayt al-Maqdis two times. A person goes, hang on, brother, what are you saying? Right, let's look at this. So who's telling you that? One of the Ten Promised Paradise. Does he know the virtues of Bayt al-Maqdis? No, Mufti Sahib knows, brother, what do you think? Right? Of course he knows the virtues of Bayt al-Maqdis. Masjid al-Aqsa, what did he say? He said, I would love it more to do two rakats in Quba than going to Masjid al-Aqsa twice. Twice. Somebody goes, did he say that? Why are you finding this hard to understand? Sa'd ibn Abi Waqas, because if it's up to me, Quba every day of the week. Every day of the week is Quba. Masjid al-Aqsa will deal with it. Twice. Now what do you think? You see people, Quba, Masjid al-Aqsa, Masjid al-Aqsa, mashallah, brother, mashallah. What about Quba? Then a guy looks here, he goes, Quba, brother, you got me there. Wait, what? Is that the one that? No, not right. Doesn't know anything left from right. Umar radiallahu anhu, what did he say? In Ibn Abi Shaybah 1-49, Abdul Razak in his Musannaf number 9613, Hassan, Umar radiallahu anhu said, had Masjid al-Quba been in the distant horizon, we would still have goaded our camels to travel to it.
Subhanallah.
Had Masjid al-Quba been in a distant horizon, we would still have goaded our camels to travel to it.
What's Sayyidina Umar saying? Authentic hadith.
He goes, if Quba was in, you know, the stars, I'll find a way to get to it.
Now think about that. Even in today's day and age, we haven't even left planet Earth. Well, we got to moon. And even then there's debate about it.
Well, let's say, okay, brother, Masjid al-Quba is on the moon.
What do you think now? Do you think we should attempt?
Oh, brother, khlas. Khlas. This is what Umar said.
He goes, I would strive every nerve to still get to it.
Why? Because you don't understand Quba.
Umar does. You don't understand Quba. Sa'd ibn Abi Waqas does.
Look at the tragedy in that. People don't know what's there in Al-Madina.
And to add this, to finish, in Hakim, it is Mustadrak Targhib number 921, our beloved messenger himself said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam,
that I pray in Masjid al-Quba is dearer to me than praying in Masjid al-Aqsa.
Who is now telling you? Rasulullah.
That I pray in Masjid al-Quba is dearer to me, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, than praying in Masjid al-Aqsa.
What's the reward for praying in Masjid al-Aqsa? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one hadith, he said that Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam, he made a dua. He goes, oh my Lord, whoever prays in this masjid of mine, make him sinless the day his mother gave birth to him. In Nasa'i, Sahih hadith. And the Prophet said, inshallah, that dua is going to get answered. Somebody goes to you, brother, book my ticket now. Hang on a minute, brother. Hang on. What about Masjid al-Quba? Then the guy goes, stop doing that again. Brother, stop doing this in here. What are you doing that for, right? Masjid al-Quba, do you know what it is? No. Well, there you go in it, right? Rasulullah said, I would love it more to pray in Masjid al-Quba. Are you an Aishik? Or do you just come out with speech? And what's amazing is, it's not Masjid al-Nabi. If it was Masjid, I got it, brother. It's not Masjid al-Nabi, brother. It's Masjid al-Quba. Look at the blessings Allah Ta'ala has put in the surroundings of Al-Madinah. When should you go to Masjid al-Quba? In Sahih Bukhari, Sahih Muslim, Nasa'i, Abu Dawud, Abdullah ibn Umar radiyallahu anhu said, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to visit Masjid al-Quba every Saturday, riding or walking, and offer two rakats within it. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to visit Masjid al-Quba every Saturday, riding or walking and offering two rakats within it. Now think about that. Why is this an important hadith? Can there be anybody more busier than Rasulullah? He had to pass the message to the entire world. Think about that. He still made time. Imagine, every Saturday. Think about that. How did he have time? You know, we got time. We're just going, you know, paying our respects, as they say. He still made time. Not if I've got time. He made time. Because he would walk sometimes to Masjid al-Quba, or he would ride to Masjid al-Quba to offer two rakats. Let me ask you a question. If he spent 3 entire days there minimum, or 3 weeks, isn't that enough blessings for Masjid al-Quba? No. Because every Saturday, Rasulullah is still going, bombarding you again with blessings. So when you go there, imagine, think about that. How holy a place is Masjid al-Quba. So why am I talking about these things? Because Medina is unbelievable place. You see the signs of Nubuwwat everywhere. And this is 5 miles out of Al-Madinah. The blessed Masjid of Masjid al-Quba. And inshallah, I will mention tomorrow that there's a well there called the Well of Aris. And there's a masjid which was destroyed near it called Masjid Dirar. But I'll mention about that tomorrow. Inshallah. سبحان الله بحمده سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك واتوب الى الله من الشيطان الرجيم سبحان ربك رب العزه عما يصفون سلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والاصل ان الانسان لفي خسر الذين امنوا وعملوا الصالحات ورواصوا بالحق ورواصوا بالصبر صدق الله العظيم